Hey guys, welcome to Next Level. We are really, really glad that you are here with us. It is going to be a great night, and we wanted to start it off by teaching you this song called Holy that is pulled straight from the pages of Scripture. And in case I didn't say it last time, sometimes I black out and I'm not sure what I've said and what I've thought about saying. Our goal for this thing called Next Level is to train, to sharpen, and then to repeat. We want to keep doing that because that is how we as a community and as individuals pursue spiritual maturity. It's by asking God to move in our lives, move in our hearts, and to reshape us into being more like Him. And one of the ways that we do that is by reflecting back to Him who He is. And so this, these words that we just sang, holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. Holy is your name in all the earth. Righteous are your ways, so merciful. These are taken directly from the pages of Scripture, actually from Revelation, where the heavenly hosts, the angels in heaven, are actually singing these words to God. And so I think in a very, very literal way, singing these words is just a great reminder of how we get to join in this song that heaven is already singing, that we get to join in reflecting back to God how wonderful He is, how just He is, how true He is, how much He cares for us. And that's what we're going to do with this time. And I would just encourage you guys, something Chuck Mingo said down at Oakley at the previous Next Level. He said, hey, whatever your normal thing is to come in and do worship, whether you're kind of like a hands in the pocket sort of guy, or if you're like singing along, bobbing your head, or if you're like a one-hander person, or maybe you're crazy and you're like a double-hander, whatever your thing is, however you normally engage with the Father in worship, what would it look like to go to the next place in that? To the next level. See what I did there? Guys, this is very creative stuff. What would it look like to just say, God, I want to just give you a bit more of who I am, a bit more of my heart, a bit more of my physicality than I did last time? Does that all make sense? Great. I'm going to stop talking, and we are going to practice this together. We are going to train in worship, train in reflecting back to the Father how good He has been to us. So stand up, and I want you guys to sing this song with us. Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. One, two, three.
Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy. All the saints bow down, holy, holy. Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down. Holy is your name in all the earth. Righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just and true. Holy, holy God, are you? Holy, holy God, are you?
Sing holy, holy.
Holy, holy God Almighty, who was and is. God of glory, you're so worthy. All the saints bow down.
Holy,
holy is your name in all the earth. Righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just and true. Holy, holy God, are you?
All blessings,
all blessings, all honor belongs to you. All power, all Righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just and true. Holy, holy God, are you? Holy is your name in all the earth. Righteous are your ways, so merciful. Everything you've done is just. God, are you? Holy, holy God, are you? Holy, holy God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down.
Holy, holy.
Holy, holy, God Almighty, who was and is to come. God of glory, you're so worthy, all the saints bow down.
Everyone needs compassion.
Everyone needs compassion, love that's never failing. Let mercy fall on me. Everyone needs forgiveness, the kindness of a Savior, the hope of nations.
Savior, he can move.
Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Take me as you find me.
So take me as you find me, all my fears and failures. Fill my life again. I give my life to follow everything I believe in. Now I surrender. I surrender, yeah. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave, Savior. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation, rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave.
Shine your light,
Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. Singing for
for the glory of the risen King. Savior, he can move. Savior,
he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save.
He is mighty to save.
Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountain. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Savior, he can move the mountains. My God is mighty to save. He is mighty to save. Forever, author of salvation. He rose and conquered the grave. Jesus conquered the grave. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King. Jesus, shine your light and let the whole world see. We're singing for the glory of the risen King.
You are deeper.
You are deeper.
Deeper, you are.
pardon me. Deeper than conviction, deeper than all I can see. Deeper than restriction, deeper than this heart in me.
Father, we thank you that you are deeper than what we can understand, that you are, there's always more of you to find, always more of you to experience. God, I ask that tonight would just be the training ground in receiving more of who you are. Amen. Guys, thanks so much for singing with us. Do me a favor and grab a seat. Say hello to a couple people around you.
Oh my goodness, let's give it up again. Well done. It is, it's a privilege to have not just great songs to sing, but words that connect us with our dad. And then to have volunteers plus Andy. Andy gets paid, but everybody else is just giving their gifting, giving their time to usher us into some amazing experience where we get to get together with God. This is worship, and this is what receiving is all about. So I want to take a step back. We've got a nice slide here. It's culturally current because it may look like it's a little bit old. It's Arnold Schwarzenegger with this famous, "We're back," because he's coming back. There's another Terminator coming out. So I thought, yeah, I'm going to go recycle a little bit of Arnold. We never really went away. And you know what we're going to do is build on what we did last month and talk about how important it is to receive. And we did this last month, giving a foundation, and I want to make sure everybody who wasn't here has a chance to catch up, and also that we kind of check in on what our experiments were, what our experience was when we engaged and exchanged with others, which is really how this whole thing is set up. We're aiming to do things that we have to do for the rest of our pursuit of God. So that whole thing that we start all as seekers, and then we have to go into this stage of receiving, regardless of where we are. If you've been walking with God for a long, long time, this is exactly for you. Because receiving is a posture we have to keep forever. And if I have one goal tonight, it's to make sure all of us commit to receiving. Whether we've taken that final step and said, "Yes, God, I want you to direct my life," or whether you've been following him for years and years. It is a great privilege to connect with him, and that's why worship is so foundational to what we're doing. So we're back and we get a chance to look at what happened last time. We did a little survey. We texted in 313131, our very standard number, to make sure that everybody connected and got to engage with, also to register so that you were getting the experiment. So in the event that you have not yet done that, you don't need to do it right now, but you minimally need to do it before tomorrow, because you'll get your experiments through this link. And if you don't have a phone that works that, we had a little bit of tech problems with a few people. Their phone plans didn't cover certain coding and other things like that. We put it up on the net, so crossroads.net/next level will get you the same stuff. So we had a chance to get our experiments, and again, we're doing this in four different phases. One of them is the worship part, right? We're going to do that every time we get together at the end of the month, and it's going to be knock it out just like we just had, and we're going to continue through the rest of the evening. The next part is exposure. So we're going to take some principles, some stuff that the Bible tells us about what it looks like to grow in receiving, following, and producing. And then we're also going to get a chance to do two things offline. So every time when we get together, we'll do the worship and the exposure. And then every time that we go from here over the next 4 weeks, we're going to do the following two things. We're going to experiment, which is this assignment we get, where we get to reflect, do some dwelling on the Spirit, on the Scripture, understand where we are. There's a bunch of scriptures to look up off the last experiment. Hopefully all of us got a chance to do so. And then the last part is this exchange part. And if you are not yet in a place where you've decided who your exchange group are, we're going to give you a chance to connect with some other people. It's going to be basically a group finder, and we'll have a chance for you to do that in the meeting rooms. So that's generally the format, and we get to talk today about what it looks like to get into the receiving stage. And I am so excited about this because it's foundational to my journey. I mean, I've been walking for 35 years with God, and until I got to a certain place, I probably, I just wasn't the kind of follower that I could have been. I wasn't the kind of producer that I can be because I wasn't receiving well. And so we're going to take some time and spend it on that. So we get a chance today to talk about maturity. And last time we got together, we said maturity is critical in order to build on what God's challenge is. He says that even everyone has to start out as a baby, and that's okay if you're just at that place or you haven't even yet made that step. That's okay. But it's not okay to stay there. So we're going to talk a little bit about what gets us across the line and then what allows us to move forward. Now, when we did so, we asked people to kind of self-measure and enter in on this survey exactly where they were in this journey. Were they just starting out in this step? And we have the little spiritual growth model that talks about seeking, receiving, following, and producing. So if there's four phases of our maturity path, we all have to start out seeking. We're wondering. We're asking questions, trying to figure things out. And then receivers are the ones who are at that place where we say, yes, we want to turn our life over and we want to get that direction from God and have Him steer our future. And then the next two are following and producing. So we asked everybody, where are you on the spiritual continuum? And most of us have a tendency to self-inflate. All right, I know I grade easier on myself than I do everybody else, especially at the grocery store or driving. I know I'm a terrible driver, but I think I'm good, and I know that everybody else is awful, so I use my horn a lot. So it is a natural tendency to rate yourself a little bit better than we naturally are. So we just threw out these four stages. We didn't describe them in great detail. We had a series about it a while ago, but we just said, hey, where are you on this continuum? And so people ended up scoring themselves, and amazingly, across the five campuses, we had 62% in the follower and producer ranges. Now, that's high, I'm just telling you, because we did a clicker across all five campuses maybe a year ago, and the results came back that two-thirds of our people were in the receiver stage. So, you know, somehow we all got real fast, or else that applies to other people, but not necessarily ourselves. So we have a chance today now to look back at the month, and the experiment that we had all these different kinds of questions. And those questions gave us some rigor into saying, where do I fall? What is my stage? And it's really important that we're honest with ourselves because we don't want to skip anything, and that's really, really important today. So as we pursue maturity, the place that God calls us to, we have to decide exactly what do we need in order to get there. So I want to look at these stages that we had, and we linked the original language that was put, if you could put the next one up there, with each of these stages. And much like the physical world, the spiritual world has a metaphor that can communicate it as well. And Paul used those to say, you know, it's just like being an infant, a nepios, when we receive. We have to start as a baby. And then it's paideion. And then we move to the follower stage, the technon. It's more of a teenager, the huios, the adult stage. And then we become pater, this producer, this fatherly figure that's reproducing. So as we asked people to consider that, we had a really terrific, terrific input. And I just wonder, after you had a chance to look at the experiment and all those questions in there, there were tons of verses. If you did the experiment, you know what I'm talking about. And if you didn't, maybe you can just consider sharing with a neighbor. I want everybody to, we're going to turn lights up just a little bit. I've got everybody to pick one person and say, what were the insights? So as you reflect on this grid, where exactly do you think you are? And what is it that you exactly would like to maybe work on? So as you consider each of these stages, tell the person next to you what an insight was or where you think you are in that continuum. I'll give you a few minutes. Go ahead. Okay, let's wrap it up. So as we consider these different stages, I know all of us are all over the map, and I looked at it with my family. We decided to do that. We have our kids living with us this summer, and then we're going to become empty nesters, Lori and I. So we had a chance to talk it as a family, and I looked at some of those questions, and things like the surrender and acting like God were very, very difficult for me. So I said, I have phases where I am definitely a technon, a teenager, an adolescent, and I have some stages where I actually feel like I do have some pater going on, where I'm producing, reproducing, and that context is pretty transparent, just to say I know that I have certain things that I continually have to work on, and I know that there's things that God has really allowed me to get to the place where I move aside and I let him start talking and working through me. And it's a wonderful place to get in. But until I understand that I have to do something before I can start receiving him, I don't have the chance to move forward. And I want to tell you a lot about my journey and how God has built my 35 years trying to figure him out and follow him. I want to start with a story about my friend Jim. And my friend Jim is a guy who actually helped start this church. There were two guys, basically, who had a Bible study of young adults that were a bunch of P&G and other kind of professionals. They got together, and they just kept growing and growing, and then they finally said, this is about, you know, creating a place that's safe enough for our friends who maybe are just still wondering about God, or they haven't given up on him necessarily, but they cannot stand church, or else they just don't want to be religious, or they don't really hear things in a way that they can understand. We need to create a place like that. And 19 years later, we've got 23,000 people. And this guy, you'd imagine, would be really, really rock solid when he was helping start this thing. Well, I became his friend. We both went to go golfing with another mutual friend who was kind of an odd bird. Neither of us actually wanted to golf. Neither of us actually wanted to be with the dude, but we felt bad for him. So it was kind of like a mercy golf date, if there is such a thing. We went out there. We played at a terrible course. It was dry as a pancake. The ball would run, so you felt pretty good about your drives. But anyway, it was a terrible, terrible experience. And we ended up finishing up with that and starting to talk more seriously. I hate small talk, so during the course of the game, it was a little bit goofy. But when we finished our golf game, we decided to go get some food, and that continued and continued. So this is the first day I met this dude, and we stayed until 4 o'clock in the morning talking about our stories and how we got there. And I remember one thing that stuck out that just I wasn't quite sure of, and I didn't know exactly where I felt about it, but I'd been following God for a while or so, I thought. And he said something that really stood out. He goes, you know, I'm like you. I didn't really come to God from a position of weakness. Let's look what my friend Jim told me. We've got this little quote here. When I came to Jesus, I wasn't coming from a place of desperation. I felt like I was coming from a position of strength. I had a Catholic background that told me I was pretty good, better than most. Basically, I needed Jesus in some form or another to round out my portfolio. Now, I don't know if I would have said it that way, but I had some other things that I was dealing with. And I remember thinking, so do we come to Jesus from a position of strength? Does that even balance? Does that even make sense? And I remember thinking about it a lot, and I started looking at my own life, and I know that I thought I was pretty good too. It was perhaps for some other reasons. I wasn't necessarily thinking that I was coming from a position of strength, but I believed that I was coming from a position where I could do certain things that would uniquely connect with God, that would delight him, and that he would then be well pleased with me. So it was this crazy kind of a works performance religious thing. That if I did this, then I earned that. Or if I didn't do this, well, then God wouldn't have any reason to feel that I was, you know, difficult or in trouble or anything like that. Therefore, I would save myself from punishment. So both of us had this kind of crazy idea. So if that's you, I'm just saying Jim and I didn't get it, and I'm suspecting you might not get it either, because the Bible has a much different position about who we are and where we come from. So as we consider this area of receiving, which is fundamental and absolutely critical to us becoming mature, for us to becoming the different person and being able to do different things in his kingdom, we have to understand why we need to receive him. And sin is that thing. Sin is uniquely in the way. Receiving starts, in fact, with an understanding of sin. Receiving has to start with sin, because if we don't know why we need to receive, we don't know what to receive. And if we don't know why we receive, we're not going to be able to fill that up. To me, it was much like getting a cavity and being able to drill this thing. And he had to go deep on it because it was pretty deep. And until he drilled everything out, he couldn't fill that up with something that wasn't going to decay. And so receiving does start with understanding sin first. I have no idea why I picked LeBron James and this thumbs up on receiving, but receiving does have to start with sin. There he is. I think it points me back to the time when he said, not four, not five, not six. Anyway, it's just a basketball thing. Your attitude about sin will determine how much you can receive. And that was something I and my friend Jim did not get, because we thought that by omitting certain kinds of sin, we, in fact, weren't really that off. In fact, there was no real reason that we needed God. We were just going to perform for him. So we thought we could, in fact, jump over some of the steps, that all we had to do was add this to our portfolio, or all we had to do was keep away from certain kinds of sin. It's a crazy idea. We can't just jump from not knowing him to all of a sudden I can help him out. We have to take. And taking is uniquely difficult because it means we have to admit we don't have something and that we need somebody else to provide it. For example, I love getting gifts on my birthday. I just had my birthday last week, and I love receiving gifts, particularly ones that are thoughtful or creative or I really need or whatever it is. And my family inundated me with gifts on my birthday. Then I got gifts for Father's Day. I was in gift heaven, and it was really easy for me to receive them. But this week, much like we do whenever anybody on our Mason staff team has a birthday, we end up going through this kind of process. We'll do our meeting on the fourth Tuesday. We celebrate birthdays. So it was my turn yesterday. And so we go through and we crank through our meeting as quickly as we can, and then we have a chance to celebrate the birthday person, boy, girl, whatever. We call them the birthday boy, the birthday girl. And we do the same thing each time. We ask them tons of questions. It's a free ride to ask any question we want. We can ask things that are funny. We can ask things that are really serious. We can talk about things that were really hurtful. Whatever it is, you got a free open ride to ask questions. And then you get a chance to bless a person. And you say things like, you know what? I see this in you. And when you do this, everybody in the room changes. You have a gift in this place, and I really want to celebrate that. You need to know this, and we're just going to, and then at the end of all that, we all go around and we each bless the person. We pray for that person. It's a wonderful, wonderful experience. Except when it happens to you. Because there's something terribly, terribly difficult to receive, not a physical gift, but this blessing of people telling you about things you do, skills, or gifts, or character. And it's often things that you really didn't cultivate. They're usually gifts that God's given you that somehow emerge over time, and you get compliments on them. When we went on our Israel tour with 60 people that are in very influential places across our city leadership and so on, we had a chance to go there and host with Brian, our senior pastor. And so when I was there, you know, I just did things that I do. Well, we came back and he said, hey, I really got to tell you, you were outstanding. You really helped me. It was really, really good having you there. And that was great. I said, thanks, really appreciate it. Very comfortable with that. And then in another meeting about 3 days later, he goes, Mark, I want to call out what you did in Israel. And he went on for about 2.5 minutes. Honestly, I wanted to poop and die. It was like, get me out of here. We don't want to receive because it puts us in this posture where we're just taking. And sometimes we don't feel like we deserve it. And sometimes when it's something that we have and we're kind of embarrassed, I don't know if it's a pride, if it's a thing that we just don't like being the center of attention, or if we just say we don't deserve it. But for me, I felt like I didn't deserve it. I particularly didn't deserve 2.5 minute compliment in front of other people. Really made me feel awkward. It was hard. And yet that's exactly the position that we need to assume. We need to assume a position that comes not out of strength, but one that comes out of weakness. We need to assume that position so that we just take, just like kids. You know, we have a very, very simple metaphor that we've been looking at as a human physical development mirroring the spiritual development. So let's talk about babies real briefly. So I have a picture of a really attractive baby. Yeah, there's a sloth. I have no idea. Anybody like that? They're kind of cute. Yeah? No? All right, whatever. And then if not, there's my dog. I'll throw her up for any reason. Or I can throw someone that means a lot more to me, my little daughter. There she was at a very young age, holding her bunny and holding a, it looks like a banana there, to eat. Now, interestingly, this young girl, she couldn't do anything for us. She couldn't walk. She couldn't change her diaper. She couldn't eat by herself. She couldn't do anything. There she could. She was a little bit older because I think she was particularly adorable in that picture. But she never contributed anything to the family at that time. She could only take. It was a position of innocence and a position of dependence. And so she did. And there was no filter that she had to build up that felt awkward, because we start building that up and saying, no, I want to do this. There's a move toward independence from a child in the physical, but there's a move toward dependence in the spiritual. It's a really difficult thing to understand. So I want to talk about what it looks like for babies and their immediate development, because it's very, very different when they're in the womb. They can't do anything. And so their development is dependent on that mom. And if vitamin K is withheld during pregnancy, a baby's face, her spinal cord, and her respiratory system will not develop properly. So critical is vitamin D to the lung, bone, and heart health that the mom's vitamin D levels plummet during the third trimester. It's a staggering impact on the mom's body, because she has to give everything she has to that ultimately hugely dependent little baby inside her belly.
And even two, vitamin A, if it is deficient during pregnancy, leads to significant kidney problems. And those are just three of the key ingredients that a baby has to have from their mom. And it mirrors exactly what's happening in the spiritual. Because things that happen or don't happen affect the baby's life and affect her trajectory forever. And so when we have this position where we want to skip the stage of receiving, we can't do it. It's a works kind of mentality. And growing up Catholic, I was told that it was what I did. I had to go confession for things I did that were wrong. And when I did things that were well, I thought I was earning favor with God. It wasn't necessarily the doctrine of the Catholic Church, but it was the doctrine of the people that were teaching me inside the Catholic Church. And I had to unlearn that because, if you wouldn't mind leaving it up there, Andy, for a second, because you can't jump over this step. If you move from seek to follow, you don't have anything. There's nothing that we have that's good enough to give away. And in order to receive that, you have to understand your sin. Because if you don't understand that your sin is extremely different, you won't want to receive. The Bible says something much, much different about sin than Jim and I believed. Let's take a look at three verses that show how significant sin is and what its impact is on us. Romans 3:10, it says there's no one, not one righteous, no matter what we do. So whether you're comparing yourself with Hitler or whether you're comparing yourself with Mother Teresa, it doesn't matter. All of us have sin in our life. We make choices. And for me, they show up real easily at the grocery store or in the car. Has anybody ever wanted to ram the cart in front of them at the grocery store? Am I the only guy? I'm serious. You get around the meat counter and it gets real slow and stuff like that, and people being all polite, oh no, go ahead. And they got that little island in the middle, and I'm just like, I gotta go. I'm gonna ram somebody up with a, if you put some watermelon, some canned goods in there, you got a lot of pounds per square inch that you can ram somebody. All right. So anyway, the point is that I have these crazy things that start happening when I'm at the grocery store. I have no idea why, but it's my character is not refined. I still need to receive. I have to pray through the grocery store often. My family wishes I prayed more when I drove. I think I'm a pretty decent driver, but man, I use the horn a lot. I can't help it. If you're driving slow, go in the right lane. There's something about it, whether it's that. And it's kind of humorous, and it's kind of out there, although it's not humorous to other drivers. It's real when it gets at home. Because I know how I talk at home. And the stuff that comes out is the stuff that points me back on that curve to the technon, to the teenager. Because a lot of the time I get to give the things that God's uniquely put in my heart, put in my mouth, where I can end up passing those along to my family. But man, so many times I can't take how slow two of the three children are in our family. And my impatience with them and the words and the tone and what I'm demonstrating to them is not even remotely like the way that I love them. God's given me this outrageous love for them and I can't get it past my tongue. I end up trying to elevate myself in meetings. We were just doing a quick run through with my friend Matt and my friend Andy, who are helping us put the service on tonight. And as we were going through that, I said, man, I just don't like this thing, because it was one of the points that one of the other folks made. Why am I trying to criticize my friend's content that he thought was important for him giving the message? Because I know better. It's preposterous. I need to be in that position of receiving and of learning and trying to appreciate. It's not just that kind of stuff. I could go on and on. Every day I am picking myself. Every day I am trying to elevate how you think of me, what I wear, what I do, what I say, the kind of car I drive. I think you're just like me. For some reason, there's something going on in our human condition that God's inviting us to get away from. So when we look at those three verses, let's look at the second one. All our righteousnesses are like filthy rags. That's referring to a menstrual rag. That's what our works, that's what our efforts, that's what our best trying looks like to God. It doesn't earn his favor. Look at the last one. What are the consequences? Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. So there is a separation that unless we grapple with it, and unless I understand every day I'm sinning, therefore my condition is to separate myself from God, I can't receive. And the only way that I can get better is by receiving. And so that's why we're going to camp on this for 6+ months, talking about how we receive. That's why we're working out our faith through worship. Because uniquely we connect and we receive from God when we get a chance to do what Andy and the band just led us through. You see, if we end up trying to skip that receiving stage, we're backed into work. It's performance. It's religion. And folks, the wages of that is death also. Excuse me. It's no wonder people don't want to be around or hear from Christians who are trying to have them perform. Nicodemus was a guy that Jesus was hanging out with who was pretty religious. He understood a lot. He was following God to the best of his abilities, but he was working. He skipped this receiving stage. And so he asked Jesus, what do I have to do? And he talks about being born again. And it's a term that's been used. I'm sorry, I got a little something in my throat here. So he talks about, what does it mean to be born again? How on earth can you, do you have to climb back into your mom's womb? What's the deal with this born again thing? And religious people like to talk about it, and we ended up banding them with a conservative movement politically, and it has nothing to do with what God's talking about. God's talking about a totally different frame. It's unless you come to this place of being a baby, unless you actually want to receive, unless you start over, you can't possibly get what I want to give you. And it's only through grace that you are going to be made right with me. And it's only through my son's death that you have a chance to be with me for eternity. So if we try skipping over receiving, we don't have what's absolutely critical in order to be with God forever. So we want to adopt a lifelong position of receiving. It's defined by what God offers you, not what you offer God. If we skip over it, we're still trying to perform. And if you're like me, that is my tendency because I don't like to receive. When I don't feel like I deserve it or if I don't feel like I earned it, I get in the way of myself. I get in the way of receiving from God. It's like I have to open my mouth and just say, please pour it in. And so we have to go back to God and we have to abide in him and rest in him and learn from him. And it's only when we have that that we can go out and be on mission and represent his kingdom and give good stuff to the folks that we encounter. And when we do that, when we become born again, when we decide to become totally dependent on him for our vitamin D, our vitamin K, and our vitamin A, then we have a chance to be this, a beautiful baby, a baby who understands how we can grow. And so we see this in Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. It's by free grace that you are delivered from judgment, and you are made partakers of Christ's salvation through faith. And this salvation came not through your own striving, but it's the gift of God. It's not the result of what anyone can possibly do. So no one can pride himself. No one can brag about your effort. So when I step into that, I interfere with this. Clearly, route one of us trying to satisfy God, us trying to please God, us trying to deliver, leads to bondage. And route two leads to freedom. I want our community to be in a position for the rest of our lives to receive. I want personally to receive every day because when I do, I don't get in the way. And the stuff that comes out of me is infinitely better. Receiving is a permanent orientation toward God in which we take as he provides. Think about a kid. They take. They take all the time. They take as long as you let them. It doesn't matter. And you know what? The Father loves giving. We just had Father's Day. I had the unique privilege of writing my kids a letter. I wanted to read it to them, but the timing got all messed up because of church. And the bottom line is, I wanted them to know that it had nothing to do with what they did. They couldn't possibly understand how much I love them. That was nothing they did that made me love them more. And it didn't matter how much they took, how much they needed, how much they screwed up, or how great they were. I still couldn't help myself. I wanted to give everything I had. And it was in that moment I said, God, that is what I know you're doing to me. I know it's why you gave me a kids. I know it's so that I can understand how to receive. And I want to be just as dependent as my kids were and have been and still are on me. The physical maps the spiritual. We have to get the vitamins. We have to take what's given to us from our mothers in order to grow. John writes this in his first chapter, verses 11 and 12. He came to that which was his own, but his own received him not. But to as many as receive him, to as many who call on his name, he gives them the power to become the sons of God. That's just a spectacular verse. Leave it up there for a second, Annie. To as many as receive him, to as many who call on his name, he gives them the power to become the sons of God. That's the offer he's giving us. He's saying, I am here. Would you just take? I give you my power, and I want you as sons. That's what the offer is. And in Mark chapter 10, he says, truly I tell you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a little child, and he used paideion, that second stage, shall not enter at all. Unless we're that curious kid, the kid who is impatient in the grocery line, the kid who can't wait to go to the next ride at King's Island, the kid who wants adventure, the kid who wants. That's what kids' natures are. Until we get like that, we can't receive. God is inviting us to receive him over and over and over again. And I want to jump in there. My story is that I came to a place where I went after with performance some ability to make it right with God. And for 20 years, I thought that it was what I knew about him. I studied the Bible. I tried to memorize verses. I tried to do everything I could. I was in small groups. I was in, you name it, I did it. Because I wanted to follow him. But I jumped over receiving him. And it wasn't until I got in touch with the gravity of my sin that I understood that I needed to step aside. And when I did, things started changing. My character started changing. What I could do started to change because it wasn't me and my effort. It was God starting to work through me. And I still struggle with it. That's why I say I'm a technon through a pater, because I'm not consistent. And wherever you are, whether you are a pater or whether you're a napios and you're an infant, God says, yes, I can't wait to give. Will you please take? And so that's what we're about tonight. We're about this place where it doesn't really matter what stage you're at. We want to pursue maturity. So we're going to have a little bit of a basketball clinic. All right? It's not really basketball, but it's a clinic where, you know, you go and you start working on your skills. You go to a dribbling session, or you go to a shooting session, or you go to defense, whatever it is. We're going to have the same opportunity because it's not about information. It's about building new muscle. It's about practicing. And so we're going to bring out some different stations, some different clinics that you can go to. And you can practice. It's going to be wonderful. I'm going to invite the band up, and they're going to play some more worship. It's one of the best things that we can do. It's to receive by participating in communicating with God. In telling him how we think about him, how we feel about it. About receiving, saying, you are deeper than I can ever understand. I want it. You're deeper than I can go. I want it. That's what worship does, and it helps fill us up. So the band's going to be playing worship while we have some of these other clinics that are going on. We're going to have a clinic up here where we get to once a month take the allocation for the next month in the Lord's Supper, the communion sacrament. And we're going to have some folks come up here in a second, and they're going to be able to tear the bread and dip it into the wine or give it to you, and you can dip it into the wine or the grape juice, whatever you want, and you can take that and say, yes, I remember. I want to receive that night when you made a decision to give your life for me, to change the rules, and for me to say, I need you. We're going to have a chance to reenact that up here. And to anyone who's made the decision to say, yes, you're my Lord and you're my Savior, I want you to come and at least participate in this clinic. And then we're going to have two other clinics. We're going to have a clinic over here that if you've been still working in the context of works, of religion, of activity, of earning, of performance for God, we're going to let you go and just process that with some people who are there to pray with you. It's a chance to confess. Hey, I've had the wrong currency. I've been using the currency of the Confederacy and the Union One. I need to get rid of this. And so we're inviting you to say, yeah, if you want to confess, if you want to exchange your currency for the things that matter, go to this clinic. They'll let you confess. They'll let you process, and they'll pray with you. Maybe you've not yet made that decision to say, I've been under different assumptions. I haven't even yet received. I haven't taken the step. I'm on the 3-yard line. I want to cross the goal line, and I want to say, I am yours, God. You are my Savior. Go. Go to that clinic. And then some of us are in a different place. Some of us need to receive prayer. We need to receive healing, maybe. Some tough things going on relationally. Maybe your marriage is in trouble. Maybe it's you got some terrible sickness or illness in one of your family or relative, or maybe it's you. We're going to have some people who are just there to pray healing, to pray fullness with you. And that's going to be back here. So we're going to have 3 clinics in addition to this worship. And those aren't the only ones. Those are the ones we're going to build muscle on tonight in this space. But I encourage you to go and spend time receiving. For me, I love drawing. I need more time drawing, just sitting out in nature and drawing whatever it is. Because God talks to me through them. I get filled up, and I get to be more like him when I draw. Maybe for you, it's music in some nature scene. Maybe it's doing some kind of exercise or running, whatever it is. Receive. We have to take that posture. We cannot move forward in maturity without receiving. So we'll have these 4 clinics. I'm going to pray for all of us. I want you to participate in some clinics, and then we'll steer everybody for the next steps after that. Meanwhile, folks serving communion or running one of the clinics, you can go right ahead and move to your station. Heavenly Father, you invite us to a different life. And very importantly, we need to renounce the currencies that we keep on bringing back. I know I do. God, I'm sorry. Before I take communion, I want to be right with you. I want to say, I need you to fill me up so that I don't do these stupid things. Like criticize my buddy's point in a talk. How absurd. I know I'm broken, and I know I need you. I know my sin keeps me from you, and I need to receive you. God, I ask that everybody in this room would take whatever it is that gets in the way of us with you, and that we'd confess it now. God, if we need to take a more outrageous step, God, I just ask that you tap people on the shoulder and they go to the clinic that you're inviting them to. And so we come together as a community of Crossroad Mason, and we just say, we want more of you. We want to receive, receive, receive. And we pray all these things in your precious name. Amen.
My last, you are my future.
You hold the reins on the sun and the moon, like horses driven by kings. You cover the mountains and valleys below with the breath of your mighty wings. All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hands. And in this fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future and my past. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future. Swimming inside the breath of your desire. And where could I run to? And where could I hide from your heart's jealous fire? All treasures of wisdom and things to be known are hidden inside your hand. Fortunate turn of events, you ask me to be your friend. You ask me to be your friend. And you are my first, you are my last, you are my future. Thank you. sing that together. You are the beginning.
And you are the beginning and the end. And you are the beginning and the end.
Well, stand up and sing, you are.
You are the beginning and the end.
Keep the clinic open as we continue to receive. And just for more clarity, if you went to one of the, or looked to the sides, the folks are actually between the partition and the doors. Please feel free, again, if you need to confess, maybe you want to make today the day that you surrender. Maybe you have something that you're still holding and you need to just process that with someone. Please go. Still today, I still feel like some of us might need to go through that. And then we also have people for prayer, for healing, about anything else. We're going to continue to receive through worship.
Everyone, and I'll sing it.
One of the best ways that we receive from the Father is just by telling him what's going on in our hearts and minds. So I would encourage you in this moment as we just say, God, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of everything that I have. You are worthy of the things that I'm concerned about. You are worthy of the things that I do well, the things that I do poorly, and everything in between. God loves us so well and so consistently that he cares for everything. I can't get my head around it, but I will keep trying. All the saints and angels bow before your throne, and all the elders cast their crowns before the Lamb of God and sing. All the saints and all the saints and angels bow before your throne. All the elders cast their crowns before the God and sing, you are worthy of it all. You are worthy of it all. For from you are all things, and to you are all things. You deserve the glory.
Sing that again. You are worthy.
Day and night, night and day, let incense rise.
And to you are all things. You deserve the glory. You are worthy of it all.
I just felt like God was saying, there's so many insecurities. He was bringing things up to me, and he said, I think the whole community needs to just say, God, I'm nervous about this. For me, it's about finances. For you, it might be about a boyfriend, a girlfriend. For you, it might be your job, whatever it is. Wherever there's insecurity, I think he's just saying, receive. I've got you. I've got your back. I'm going to pray and close us down formally, but if you still need prayer, we'll have people in the back. We'd love to pray with you. Andy can finish maybe with either a song or a chorus, whatever, as we go to the next step. But I want to pray for everyone and their insecurities. God, I am insecure about how you provide for me, even though you do it over and over again. You answer challenges. You take care of my family. Father, for whatever we're worried about, it's just an opportunity to give that over to you and ask you, would you please give? We want to take. We receive. We know it's not our efforts anyway. So God, just fill the emptiness, fill the hole, fill the worry, fill the embarrassing part, the fears, the hurts. Let us receive tonight, God, in a way that we've never received before, so that we can, with joy and confidence and strength, advance the kingdom, that we, as your princes and princesses, go out and represent you, God, with how you fill us up. So we celebrate receiving, and we give you those insecurities. So come now, let's just clean up the last place that we need to turn to you and ask to receive. We ask all these things in the name of the one who allows us to be your sons and daughters. In the name of Jesus and his character, we say thank you and we receive in your name. Amen.